Oh, I've been so ignited this morning. Thank you, everybody, for sharing. Really sensed at God's presence with us by His Spirit. I'm so thankful that God's left His Spirit. Jesus left His Spirit. Acts chapter 1, He ascended into heaven, but He left His Spirit. Because that's what we've been sensing. That's how we sense the presence of God, through His Spirit this morning. Go like that with your hands. One of the choruses that we were singing, do you remember, Andy? It says, Jesus has time in His hands. And that came to my mind. No, do that. Because the situation that you're going through and you're praying about, God's got the time in His hands. If you want a quick answer, you want Him to do that with time. Do that with time. Just a short time. I'll let you know. But sometimes, He does that. And you have to wait a long time. But remember, who's got time in His hands? Whether He's like that, or He's like that. God's got the time in His hands. It's not the time, per se, that's important. It's who's got the time in His hands. Wonderful, isn't it? God. Thank you for your prayers this morning for the different people in my family. Abigail, down in Birmingham. Lisa, down in Birmingham, with their conditions. Lynn's mum just had an operation concerning breast cancer. And she came out yesterday. And that's where Lynn is, tending her this morning. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your prayers for me. I'm able to stand like this and not like this. Okay? I've been taught the hernia walk. All right? That's what... you'd be surprised how many people come out the woodwork who've had a hernia when you mentioned that dreaded H word. Oh, I had that. Okay. And so I just want to thank you for your prayers. Like Christiana, I want to echo that God has been so good. And sometimes it's been that, and sometimes it's happened immediately. And I praise God for that. The most important thing is God's got us in His hands, as well as our situations. This message has been incubating for a week. And it's been changed every day. It's not got any shorter. I got a lift this morning with Gina and Andy. And Gina said, Andy, please remember me today. I'm in children's work. And I thought, I'm going to see. I'm going to really try. The story's told about a small time in the small town in America. And historically, it'd been what you call a dry town. You know, no alcohol, no taverns, no bars, and so on. And a local businessman, he decided to build a tavern in the town. And so a group of Christians from a local church were concerned about this, and they planned an all-night prayer meeting asking God to intervene. And it just so happened that shortly after they started the prayer meeting, lightning struck the tavern and burnt it up. Now, the owner of the bar decided to sue the church, claiming that their prayers, the congregation's prayers, were responsible. In response to that, the church claimed that, and so they hired a lawyer to argue in court that we're not responsible. The presiding judge, this is what he said after his initial review of the situation. This is what he stated. It's very interesting. No matter how this case comes out, one thing is clear. The tavern owner believes in prayer, and the Christians don't. The bar owner believes in prayer, but the Christians don't. This last week, in our growth groups, as Pete intimated, those groups that have met, and ours haven't met, so I apologise, but we will be discussing this, so that we can feed back into the leadership about what we think. We've been discussing about how we can gather together in the church, in different ways, to pray as a church. We've been talking about the possibility of praying in different groups, not one big group. Think outside the box. In different groups, at different times, and praying in all kinds of different ways. Now, you might be asking, why have we done this? Good question. As a leadership, we want Community Church Blackburn to become the kind of church that God is earnestly looking for here in Blackburn. We want to be one of those churches. Praise God if there's going to be two, three, four, five. But if there's only one, we want to be it. All right? We want to count for God. Because we want God to use us effectively, don't we? And mightily to bring about his plans and purposes. Not ours, but his in this city. Now, one of the most important characteristics of churches that God uses to do his will is what? They pray. There's a spirit of prayer in the church. It always prevails in a church that God uses and blesses. It always happens in a church. Nothing, you see, will really happen if we don't pray. But what's so important about us praying? What's so important about us praying? What kind of prayer is God looking for? There's different kinds of praying. What kind of prayer is God looking for? And that's what I want us to think about today. It's been on my heart. And it's no wonder that when I've been off work this week, I've spent lots and lots of time praying. I just thank God for the space. I really do. Every time I'm sick, I get blessed. I was in Blackpool Vic in July, and I was blessed. My socks were blessed. Both sorts. Okay. I had a lovely time. And this week has been no different. No different. To begin with, before I open up this theme this morning, based upon one verse out of Colossians, I'd like us to consider what I think is an astounding verse in the Bible about praying. It's found in James chapter 4 and verse 2. Now, I'm going to be linking James 4 verse 2 and Colossians 4 verse 2 this morning. So just remember 4:2. All right? And in James chapter 4 and verse 2, it goes something like this. You don't have because you don't ask. You don't have because you don't ask. And when you do ask, you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives. James chapter 4 and verse 2. How is this verse linked with our theme today of praying? What's this verse all about? Well, it's a staggering thought. That God, the sovereign ruler of the universe, the creator of this world that was stood on, would ordain that our prayers cause things to happen. Our prayers cause things to happen. Secondly, our prayers cause things to happen that would not happen if we didn't pray. Our prayers actually cause things to happen that would not happen if we didn't pray. According to this particular verse, as I understand it. Now, this verse doesn't mean that we get stuff even if we don't pray. We do, but it doesn't mean that. It means the exact opposite to that. The verse actually says, we have not because we ask not. We have not because we ask not. In other words, we don't get stuff. We don't get our wishes and our desires and our needs, met and provided for often because we don't ask. Because we don't pray. This verse then means that prayer causes things to happen that wouldn't happen if we didn't pray. Right? Now this verse raises some very important and very challenging things. If we understand it like that. What should be the place of praying in our spiritual lives and in the life of the church? If that's true, what James said. You see, prayer, contrary to popular belief and practice, even amongst some Christians, it's an incredible privilege to pray. It is. To be used and to be able to be used by God in God's plan of cause and effect in the world, in the universe, to bring things about is an astounding thing. That God should use you and me in that. And it seems to me that if we don't avail ourselves of God's divine means of bringing things to pass, then, forgive me, but we're colossal fools. We are. If we don't avail ourselves of that. If prayer isn't a major part of our Christian life and the life and the activity of the church, then I think we're completely missing the mark spiritually. This is what has grown on my heart over the last, well, up to this point, 37 years. As a Christian, I'd go so far as to say that we're pretty confused about the ways of God. If we don't understand this, we're blind. We're babes in the faith. We're playing games in the Christian life. What's the outcome going to be? Well, we'll never grow up as Christians. We'll never mature. As Christians, we'll never become fully what God wants us to be. We'll never grasp really what walking with God's all about. I'm not pointing fingers. When you ever point a finger, someone once said there's always four pointing back. Yeah? But I can't believe it sometimes. That the sovereign God of the universe wants you and me to join with him in praying about his will. And he's inviting us. He's calling us to do our part. He said, I want, just come and pray. Just come and talk to me. How will we respond to the message today? Now, I want to follow on, as it were, from this. I think it's an incredible truth. Quite a challenge in James 4 and verse 2, to look at Colossians 4 verse 2. I want us to look this morning at how God wants us to pray. Not that he's trying to persuade you that praying's important. I'm assuming that. But how does God want us to pray? This is what Paul says, Colossians 4 and verse 2. Verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer. Keep alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Just going to read that short part of verse 2. I think there's one thing that's crystal clear in this passage and in the scriptures generally. It's God's will that we pray. It's God's will that we pray. Sometimes we struggle. Do you ever struggle to know the will of God about different situations? Shall I go? Shall I stay? Shall I do this? Shall I do that? We do. Because we have to search God, allow God to search us, come before God, and we want him to disclose the next few steps forward or to confirm in our hearts how to proceed. But there's some things that you and I do that we don't have to struggle to know. And that's praying. We don't have to wrestle with God. Is it your will? Is it your will? We don't. Because it is God's will. No question about it. What is praying? What is praying? That could cover a series of messages. Well, praying is just asking. Just talking to God about things and about people. Things and people. Now, by things, I don't just mean objects or stuff. All right? I don't just mean that. I mean asking whatever your heart desires. And more specifically, what God wants. Ask him about that. And what we need. What do our hearts, what do our lives need most? What would you say? What do we need most?
More of Jesus.
More of Jesus, yeah. More of God. We all need more of God. I need more of God. You need more of God. We all need more of God in our lives in different ways. We need to know God better, right? We need to trust God more and more. We need to love God more and more, deeper and deeper. Do we need to obey God more and more? I was excited this week in Philippians chapter 1 because there's this phrase, more and more. That was Paul's desire for the church at Philippi, to know God's love more and more. More and more. And I kind of ran with that for about 2 days. More and more. More and more. Now I know, and I'm sure you know, that we should come to God with more than just asking in our minds. God's no divine vending machine. Prayer in, product out. But sometimes, as long as we mention it, prayer in, project out. How should we come to God? How should we approach God? I've done a lot of reading and I read a story about D.L. Moody. Fantastic guy. God used him. A famous evangelist in the 19th century. He made a visit to Scotland. And he opened up one of his talks at the local primary school with a rhetorical question. Rhetorical question. And the question was, boys and girls, what is prayer? Now, they didn't know what a rhetorical question was, because a rhetorical question is, I didn't really want an answer. These kids didn't know it. And as soon as he said that, boys and girls, what is prayer? To his amazement, hundreds of kids put their hands up. You see, they hadn't read the definition. But they put their hands up. And so D.L. Moody, he decided to pick on a lad near the front. That's what you do, Angela. You pick on somebody near the front. Somebody who's being naughty, like Andy, all right? No, okay? He picked on somebody at the front. And the little boy stood up, and this is what he said. Actually, this is what he said. Prayer is an offering of our desires unto God. In the name of Christ, by the help of his Spirit, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. Oldest this kid must have been was 11. Could you come out with that? No, because he'd been taught it. D.L. Moody responded to this little boy. And he said, be thankful, son, that you're born in Scotland. And I had to think about this. Why did he say that? This little boy's answer was the set answer for the 178th question in the shorter Westminster Catechism. And in 1540, they introduced in Scotland that all young children and all youth should learn the catechism, the Christian Westminster Catechism, about all kinds of things. There are, I think, 196 questions. You think that building belonging is tough. They're shorter Westminster. They're shorter. That's what I thought. 196 questions. And these were the set answers. What was he saying here, Moody? Well, he's saying, be thankful, son, you're born in Scotland, where they teach you the wonderful mysteries and power of church and what of prayer and what prayer is truly all about. Now, unless we know what prayer's all about, unless we believe it and understand it, we'll never really enter into it with any great conviction, determination, or be faithful in it. And it got me thinking. If we went round and asked children, what is prayer? Could any of our children who are now in Sunday school wrecking the... No. Having a good time. Could they, any of them come up with something like that? But let's go a bit closer to home. Could you? Somebody said to you, what is prayer? Could you... Something so comprehensive... like that. What's it really all about? You know what came to my mind? Cilla Black. What's it all about, Alfie? That song. I know. I know I'm not going to sing it. All right. But what is it all about? What's praying all about? What's praying all about? Do you know there are some in the scriptures, very important men in the scriptures, they didn't know much about prayer either. Why do I say that? It was the early disciples. If you look in the scriptures, there's two accounts where Jesus told the disciples about the Lord's Prayer and the purpose of it. One's in Matthew 6 and the other, the parallel passage, is in Luke 11. And it's in Luke 11 that you actually find their question of Jesus. This is what they say to Jesus. Lord, teach us how to pray. It's only found there. You see, it's interesting. Jesus was never asked, can you teach me how to preach? Homiletics. Can you teach us how to preach? We're going to go out and proclaim the gospel. Teach us how to preach. They never asked him that. Can he teach us how to teach then? Never asked him that. Lord, teach us how to evangelize. They never asked him that. Or it's not recorded. Jesus sent them out twice, two by two, on the job. But they never said, Lord, teach us how to evangelize. Can you teach us how to witness? Can you teach us how to lead? Remember the role that they were going to move into. Can he teach us how to heal people? How to go about it? Can he teach us how to plant churches? Can he teach us how to motivate people? No, all it records is, Lord, teach us how to pray. And that's where we get our Lord's Prayer from. Jesus said, pray like this. And it's become a rote prayer. I think it's more than that. Do you believe, do you realise that we're utterly dependent upon God for everything? But be honest, how little do we pray? How little do we pray? How little we all understand the importance, the privilege, the power of praying. See, if we did, what would we do? What would he do? This isn't a rhetorical question, by the way. We'd pray more. We pray more, won't we? If your life depended on it, like food, like drink, you pray more. God loves to be asked. God loves being asked. If you think about this for a moment, God's will is that we as creatures talk to him, asking for things that we need in life. And also about things that happen in our life. Prayer is a communication thing between us and God. Two-way thing. Did you know that most of the problems in the world arise because of lack of communication? Did you know that most of the problems in people's lives in church are caused by lack of communication? Now, I did a mistype on here. And I typed this. Most problems that occur in church or in our own individual lives are caused by lack of God communication. I've left it in. I meant good communication, but I think it's God communication. Listen to what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs about God's attitude to praying. Yeah, God's got an attitude. The prayer of the upright is his delight. The prayer of the upright is his delight. It's God's delight that we pray rightly. It delights God. You don't look so encouraged by that. He loves it. He loves it. Was that that ad my little grandson, Ethan, said, I don't care, I love it. That's what he says. Or did say, he's moved on to something else now. Did you also know that God is so eager to hear our prayers and respond to them that he actually says in the major prophet, Isaiah 65, it will also come to pass, but before they call, I'll answer. And while they're still speaking, I'll hear. That's what God says about our praying. I am answering before you've finished. At times, God takes special delight, special steps to see also that he is constantly bothered, badgered by people praying. There are some people that don't get on God's nerves because they're constantly praying. He loves it. Now, in Isaiah 62, talks about these badgerers. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I, and it means God, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they'll never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves. Give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise on the earth. They badger God. They bother God. Constantly. And God loves to be bothered about us, by us. And he appoints certain people to be bold, botherers, and badgerers of God. You know what they're called in the church? They're called prayer warriors. They're called prayer warriors. And I believe the church has prayer warriors. This church has prayer warriors. And I believe the church worldwide, nationally as well, has prayer warriors. I believe the church needs more prayer warriors to do business with God. People who won't give up bothering God. Don't give God any rest. Keep reminding him of his promises. And they're unable to be quiet until he answers. Now, if you meditate on this truth about praying, you should be encouraged in your faith and in your hope and in your prayer life. Because it means God is the kind of God who won't, and he doesn't turn away from us when we got needs. He doesn't. He's not deaf. It bothers me sometimes when I'm in a prayer meeting and people shout out like this. Now, God's not deaf. Now, they might get excited, I'm all about, but they do. Because he hears the prayer on our hearts. Nothing to do with audible sound. But he never exhausts. He's not deaf. And I think how wonderful that is of God. Why does God answer our prayers? Why? Why us? Why does God answer prayers? His desire and his delight. What's behind it? In him, in us asking him for things. Well, it's because we sing about it all the time. But I think it was wonderful today how it came through in our worship. It's because of his love. It's the love of God. He loves us. He's a God of love, and it's God's very nature to be a giver. God's always giving, because God's always a giver. That golden nugget, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. That's God. He's always giving. Do you believe it's more glorious to be a giver than a getter? Yeah? A giver than a getter? Getters look needy, don't they? Gimme, gimme. They look needy. And they are needy. Givers are, and they look, self-sufficient. Independent. And God ordains that we pray and wants us to pray because he wants us to see his glorious self-sufficiency and his love towards us. And he also wants us to realise you're totally needy, Andy. You're totally dependent on me. Some of the things about praying. Praying's not small. Praying's not insignificant. It's not a little powerless thing that Christians do. It's not reserved for super spiritual people. It's not. Or a few saints. Prayer's for every believer. How young you are, how old you are, in age and in the faith. It doesn't matter. It's at the very heart of why God created the universe and man. Who's the center of the universe? God. Center of the universe is God. And man is second. He is created in the image of God. Created in the image of God. And the meaning of the purpose of man being made in the image of God is what? To worship God, to pray with God, to know and display the and point the way to God's glory. Have you ever thought about that? Prayer is pointing the way to God's glory because God's going to answer. That's why it's so great to share answers to prayer, because let's hope it always glorifies God, not because we're super saints. We're super prayers because we've got a super God. That's why. So how should we pray? Five college students, they were spending a day in London. And they went to hear the famed Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the preacher of Westminster Church, preach. And they were waiting for the doors to open. And the students, where they were greeted by a man at the door. And the man said, "Gentlemen, welcome. Let me show you around. Would you like to see the heating plant of our church?" Well, it was July. They weren't particularly interested in it. It was a hot day in July. But they didn't want to offend this stranger. So they consented and he led them away. And he took them down a stairway. And he opened a door quietly at the bottom of the stairway. And the guide whispered, "This is our heating plant. And they looked in and they saw 700 people bowed in prayer, praying for this next meeting. That's what they saw. They were praying that God would bless powerfully that meeting. The man who showed them downstairs very softly closed the door. And then he introduced himself. Who was it? Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He knew. God used him powerfully at Westminster Chapel. But that man was not confused. Who did it? It was God. And those people interceding for him. How should we pray? Paul begins by saying, devote yourselves to prayer. It's not what you and I do that's important, it's how we do it. See, prayer is important, but how we pray is more important. So he says, devote yourselves to praying. Now, being devoted is often translated as persevering it. Continue with steadfastness. That's the other translation of it. And you actually find this word, devotion, or the equivalent, 6 times in the New Testament. And I want to actually just point out the 6. Of course, we've got it in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. But then, Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus, 2 verses before, has just ascended into heaven. Shaking time. Jesus is gone. Wait in Jerusalem till the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. 2 verses in. And this is what it says. These believers, all with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Then, Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Driven outside. God uses Peter to preach. And through it, people get converted. And then we come in at verse 42. What were the early church doing? Continually devoting themselves to prayer. 4 chapters later, leaders wake up. It says, the apostles devoted themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Romans chapter 12. Big chapter about spiritual gifts, but Paul's not confused because in verse 12 he says, rejoice in hope, persevere in suffering, and what? Be devoted to prayer. Be devoted to prayer. And finally, Ephesians 6, armour of God chapter, verse 18. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all perseverance, which can be translated, same Greek word, proskarte, meaning be devoted. Be devoted. Now, what does devoted mean? How is it expressed in the believer? How about your human relationships? Ever use the word, I'm devoted to you? Have you said that, Phil, about Marina? No. Has Marina said that to you? No, because maybe you've demonstrated it. I'm devoted to you. Actions speak louder than words, don't they? If we're devoted to someone, I was going to say something then, Blackburn Rovers, for some, don't see why, but they, we'll do anything, won't we? We'll do anything for them if we're devoted to them. Is that right, Steve? Devoted to your young lady? I'll do anything for you. Day or night. I love getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning to get your drink of water, dear. I love it. If it's convenient or inconvenient, devotion. Is it costly or uncostly? I read the story. I read the story ages ago, but this little story keeps coming back. It's about, and I might have told you in a message before, but it's all about this guy wanting to express his love for a young lady. And he says, I love you. I'm devoted to you. I'll see you tomorrow if it doesn't rain. And I thought, oh, if we're devoted to people, rain doesn't matter, does it? We express our devotion. We can express it in a variety of ways. Devotion's not vague. Don't ever be embarrassed about your devotion, unless it's back my own. I don't support any team, all right? Because I know nothing about football, all right? But it's not vague. It's not a hit and miss thing. It's not half-hearted. It's interwoven into every part of our life. God wants us to be sincere in our devotion. Faithful. Totally consumed by it. Your heart engaged with it. Your mind engaged with it. Your feelings, your love. All part of it. All behind it. All engaged in it. There's two other things. You should have seen Gwyneth's face then. That was a picture. All right, you can read a lot into people's faces. More. That's Philippians chapter 1, isn't it? More and more. Right. Keep alert in your praying. That's what Paul says. Keep alert. Wake up. Okay. Keep alert in your praying. All right. We need to stay alert about praying. It implies you've got to be watchful when you're praying. I must hold my hand up once. I dropped asleep in a prayer meeting 3 times. Not in the same meeting. Nobody would be so hard on me and wake me up. Let him have a good sleep. Let him go. All right. Keep alert. Why? Because there's distractions and hindrances that will prevent you praying. Sleep will prevent you praying. Praying, not playing. Other things, busyness, that will prevent you praying. Now why? I'm going to take a verse out of context and add on to it here. Because the Bible says the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking somebody to devour or distract and popping on. He is. Why? Why does the devil want to distract us praying? Because he doesn't like it. He'll let Christians do anything and everything, but don't let them pray. If they get involved in all kinds of things, that's okay. But don't get them praying. Because the devil sometimes knows more about the power of us praying than sometimes we do. Distractions happen because Satan doesn't want us to pray. How's he doing in your life? Is he winning? Is he winning? There's the foul. I got that one in there, didn't I? Turn it back on us. Is he managing to distract us? But being alert has a positive thing as well. It's not just be careful, keep a watch out. When we pray, we need to be alert to hear and decipher what God says. It's not enough to pray. You've got to decipher what he's saying. Because I said before that prayer is a two-way thing between us and God and God and us. Have you ever met somebody who talks? And talks. Yeah. It's like a monologue, isn't it? You can't get, no, don't go there. You can't get a word in. Do they ever come up for a breath? Oh, no. They don't hear what you say or try to say back because they're too caught up with what they're saying and they want to say. Prayer shouldn't be a one-way thing. Prayer's not a monologue from Mr. God. Is that news? No, it's a dialogue. Because God wants to. I want to answer. I think it was Silvanus said something once. How many mouths did God give us? One. How many ears? Two. That says something. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, number 3, Gwyneth. All right? Our prayers, it said, should be filled with thanksgiving. Filled with thanksgiving. Saturated with thanksgiving. I think there are three words that are most lacking in our world. Do you know what they are? Please. Thank you. And sorry. Please, thank you, and sorry. And I think these three words and attitudes are the three most ideas that are lacking in our praying. Please, God. Thank you, God. I'm sorry, God. I think saying please in prayer suggests a belief that God answers prayer. I feel unworthy to ask you, Lord. But we come before God because we know God's a God of mercy and a God of love. And as I said, a God of love and grace. And we know that he says we can come. Saying thank you to God is being filled with thanksgiving and acknowledging God is faithful. He keeps his promises. That's why it's important to pray scripture. Pray scripture. Have it there in front of you when you're praying. Take hold of the promises and pray the promises. Saying sorry to God. Do you know why we need to say sorry to God? Because we mess up. We mess up with God. We get things wrong with God. But God loves us and he's willing to forgive us and let us start again. Our prayers cause things to happen that wouldn't happen if we don't pray. That's what I want to leave you with today. And I really want to encourage you about this whole thing of praying. It will revolutionize your life. It will revolutionize our life as a church. You just have to read about those disciples. When did they do it? All the time. Seems to me all the time. Because they wanted to keep in touch with him. Let me pray for us, if I may. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, knowing that you are our great God, who knows each of our hearts, the state of them. And Lord, we love you. You are a God of love, the rainbow God. God of mercy, God of grace. And Lord, just take everything that you've been whispering to us, talking to us this morning about our relationship brought about through us communicating and responding to you. Yes, Lord, help us to grow in you. Help us to grow in our relationship with you. Lord, our relationship, when that grows, our love for you will grow. Our understanding of your ways will grow. Our faith in you will grow. Help us, Lord. Help us to take this on board fully in our lives. Oh, Lord, we might need to rethink a lot of things. so many things competing for our time. I pray, Lord, would you just help us to discern, just help us to be wise in the priorities and the decisions we make. Oh, Lord, will you excite us? Convince us. Persuade us of this wonderful truth. What a privilege. Talking with you. Somebody once said, Lord, that speaking to men for God is one thing. But speaking to God for men and women is something quite different. Oh Lord, help us to get it right, we pray. In your wonderful name. Amen.